Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we'll review Extraordinary. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then we'll go to deep spoiler analysis. But first, we of course go to TV Corner and we continue with episode two of All of Us Are Bread. Is that right?
All of Us Are Greg?
No, of course we're watching All of Us Are Dead. This is episode two, and we had a lot of on our last episode we had a lot of complaints about the K-drama. What did you think of this one?
Well, there's very little drama in this one. It's just straight action. It was fun. It was good. Again, I kind of had it on as like background sort of deal, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's good, but then I felt like the story disappeared. And then the story that was there was like, eh. Like, you get a little bit of with the science teacher / dad, I guess, is narrating what's going on. I didn't realize that. Right? Sort of. Like, he's telling the story.
Yeah, well, he's explaining how he came upon the virus.
He was, yeah, but he was there when the girl got, or I guess he gets arrested. That's right.
Yeah. He's currently arrested. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. I don't know.
So how do you put this on as background noise? Cause I'm just going to go on a limb and say, you don't know Korean. So I don't know.
No, I've dated a couple of Korean people, and that, you know, that's how you learn languages.
Yeah, I've made many orders.
I lived in K-Town for a handful of years, so I know everything about Korea. Some of my good friends are Korean, so that means I know Korean. No, I mean,
sake,
it's more
and
like
green tea. No,
kimchi. Interesting story that I wasn't aware of, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but the Korean squat, you know, you sometimes walk by and you see like older Korean people squatting and smoking cigarettes or just chilling.
Oh, yeah.
Stems from the way kimchi is made, apparently. I thought that was interesting.
No shit. I guess the stance they take when they're like, what, fermenting it or creating
it? Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I didn't want to butcher the story, so I'll just leave it at that.
I agree. I thought this was a little more digestible, I guess. There was less of the K-drama. I already know a lot of these people. Like, we understand the relationships and the people, you know, and I think they did a good job of playing out where they left off on the last episode, where essentially the high school is being under attack. And that's primarily what the whole episode was about, just the school being attacked and then tons of people dying, right? And then we sort of have now made our little group that are...
Some of our main characters, yeah. Or I thought we're going to be our main characters, I guess.
Yeah, we had one of the main leads almost passed. Did a cliffhanger. He might be dead, right?
He might be, he might not be. But then the other girl, the one that clearly got bit in the first episode, dies.
Yeah. Her friend, her best friend.
Yeah. The one that had the other friend that grew up with her, right? And he was all weird about it. And then he was still weird about it when she was dying.
Up until he's very stubborn. He doesn't want to admit his feelings.
Too late now, kid.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a cliffhanger. I think that guy's totally alive. I could be wrong, but I think that guy's totally alive.
I thought the girl that he wanted to confess his feelings to died. I'm pretty sure she's one that turns and dies.
No, that was the friend. Because I think I'm going to have to ask you not casually watch anywhere. No, yeah, her friend died. Our main leads is the girl who said she had a crush on the other guy who separated from the group currently, but she clearly is having feelings with her friend, who's a guy, has feelings for her. And he falls off. He literally falls possibly to his death. I don't think he's dead. I think they're setting up that he'll return. Yeah, it was a little too obvious, right? Yeah. For him to die. It was too soon.
He's going to come back with, like, I don't know. He's going to build a car out to be a death machine. And if that doesn't happen, I'm going to stop watching the show.
We also get introduced to some new characters too, right? We get another school that was coming over to participate in some sort of archery tournament or something. There's archers now in the school from opposite school, and there's
That one chick's all badass. That's right.
They have we have a new badass chick,
and then that other girl that was trying to stop. Or keep that girl in the bathroom stall, the super hot one. Not that it matters, but I was like, wow, she's very pretty. she's the badass, like, rebel person of the group.
She's like, with the archer.
Now we're getting some tasty characters.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like these are all characters you might see in a zombie movie, right?
I would say, like, in a video game.
Yeah, it's a good comparison also. Yeah. You get a lot more...
like Conker's Bad Fur Day. Or Earthworm Jim.
Wow, nothing before 98, huh?
Burger Time.
But yeah, no, this was good. I liked it. I think... I like that aside from the fact that the friend dying and they kind of like sit on that for a bit, like, but that kind of made sense in the context of the show when somebody important dies to our main characters, it's kind of like they need to like sit with that and it happens. Right. The only thing that was mildly frustrating was, I kept wanting, every time they turned, they didn't react enough. So I kept wanting them to be like, just throw them out a window. Or something. Yeah. They're super casual. Like the teacher who, because our group of heroes, they end up barricading themselves in the classroom, right? And one of the teachers makes his way in and he starts directing them and telling them, like, oh, yeah, put your stuff, you know, start barricading the doors with the desk and chairs and shit, and we'll lock ourselves in. And it's funny, the girl who died, she says she notices that he was bit. And then she immediately calls it out. And then I like that he calls her a fucking bitch.
Yeah. so I got a question. Is it explained why kid that decides he's not a bully anymore is super good at fighting? Is it because he's a bully?
Because
he's doing some, like, clearly it's some wire stunt sort of kickassery.
Yeah. Definitely building it up. As I think they suggest pretty heavily that he can fight at the very least. But yeah, they are amping up his fighting ability.
Yeah, because he's like taking out several of the infected at one time.
Yeah, I figure they all were doing that, right? They do like this whole human barricade, they're ripping doors off and windows and they're beating people up and stabbing people. Like, this is.
That one quickly kid does turned that, into does that Game of Thrones holding the door fucking thing.
Yeah. Which
to me, I was like, they still got to hold it from top to bottom so their fingers are exposed. If
their fucking hands or fingers are gone.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. Yeah. Okay, so let me ask. So the friend, before she turns, her eyes shoot blood red, almost indicating that maybe something else is going on. Like maybe she's, maybe they're like one. What I thought was maybe that before she turned, she kept saying like, look, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And she does go, ends up being fine after her eyes shoot blood red. So I thought for a second, maybe when her eyes shot blood red, they do like a POV and you can kind of see like a red CG effect over the, we're looking over the POV. And I thought for a second, maybe they're like a hive mind. They all kind of move together.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
And so, cause I noticed when she was looking, they immediately cut back to the kids that are already infected who kind of get more riled up by it. So I don't know if they're like maybe dropping hints at something else, something more there, or
Like,
maybe I'm reading that scene wrong.
Like they're all at the Visser?
Yeah. They're all 1981 there.
But they're not, because they're actually from present day. And yes. There will not be a season 2.
Yeah.
Not going to get Archive 82.
No. Anyway, she ended up changing anyway. So it was just like a weird moment. Something that I guess keep... Let's see if that turn happens again. You know, that POV shot appears and maybe it means something.
Yeah. So. I'm also curious about the title of the series.
All of Us Are Dead.
Yeah. Is that an indication of what we're to expect?
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right. I guess I didn't think that one through.
So far it's getting better. I mean, it's just...
It's getting better. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a fun watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
It's very easy to watch if you know Korean like I do.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm like exercising while I'm trying to watch it just because I have, unfortunately, very little time during the week.
So okay, I'm trying to
double things up. But it was easy to watch Extraordinary, our feature for today, because I got so fucking exhausted by Wednesday that I just like would lay on the couch and watch it. It's like,
I did have to put the captions on for this one too.
Oh,
just because super hot. Well, okay, let me explain. It's just super hot in LA, so like I had to put the air on and fans running, so I could not hear my TV. So I just put the captions because I was just annoyed that I didn't want to like put. And there was nothing really wrong with the, you know, because they were speaking in Irish or whatever, you know, English, but it's just the Irish slang or whatever, like the not slang. That's you know what I'm talking about. I'm really tired. What is it?
Well, the Irish do pronounce even their alphabet different than us. Like, what's the last letter of the word guitar?
R.
But in Ireland, it's the letter or.
R. They're pirates.
I was watching. I was watching this thing called Irish People Try, right? And it's mostly them trying different booths from around the world. It's really funny. They got their own like BuzzFeed type of thing going over there, and there was a riddle. And the answer was R, right? The letter R. And the first couple of people to figure it out were like, oh, is it or? Or. Is it or? And I was like, or? Like the boat thing? An or? And I was so confused. And I was still living with somebody at the time. I was like, come here, check this out. And I showed them the video from that point when I was confused before they explained, is it the letter or? And then it pops up on the screen. I'm like, oh my God, that's how they say R. And it was, and she's from, or they're from England, right? The person I used to live with. And they're like, I've never fucking heard that before in my life. R. I mean, it is what it is for them, but.
Okay, I got to ask you this too. Do you know what a burr is? A burr?
A burr.
A burr.
Like a bill? Like a bill burr?
A burr. No. But spelled similarly. Yeah, no, but no. It's spelled similarly, but it's called a burr. You never heard this?
No. Is it a medical?
So I meant to... no, close. No, it's not a bill. It's so I meant to ask George Chapa this because he's an East Coast. It's an East Coast thing. Oh. So apparently... when you hit something sharp end, like a sort of, if they call it, sometimes they call them burrs, sharp points. Oh. Because there's like a certain like sticker kind of point of a tree or like a little piece of metal. Oh. They call them burrs.
A burrs. I think I have heard of this.
You've but heard also, of this before? Yeah.
I think one of our listeners is, or no, I don't think. I know one of our listeners is from the East Coast, and perhaps he could shed some light on this at some point. It'd be funny if this comes out like, hey, dude, so a burr is.
Yeah, I heard this. Somebody I work with is from the East Coast, and he was like, oh, he was looking for like a Band-Aid or something in one of the offices, and he was just like, oh, yeah, I just nicked myself on a burr. I'm like, on a what? On a burr. It's like, okay. And he went on to burr. And it's like, no, I don't know. I guess it's like it's a type of, you know how we have in Texas stickers?
Yeah.
That kind of pointy plant situation deal. A thorny plant. They have something like that. Plus, it's also the name of like pointy ends of like metal to burrs. So it was just like, that's.
It's funny that you mentioned that because so the group I work with, we're from like all over, you know, and I saw a official name of this is a pill bug, right? You know what I'm talking about? What do you call a pill bug?
Pill bug? I don't think I've ever heard that.
Pill bug is a. Well, no, they're called something else, but. Actually, I think that's what they call on the East Coast. Bug. East Coast. The little bugs. That are kind of like a grayish, almost blackish, but more on the gray side. When you hit them, they turn into a ball. They're like very small.
Are they like?
They're in grass a lot, but when you see them, if you like flick them, they turn into a ball.
Like roly polies?
There you go. Yeah, because I was like, oh, hey, it's a roly poly. And somebody said, what? And I was like, actually, what is this? What do you call this? So I started bringing everybody over like, hey, don't say anything. What do you call this? What is this to you?
You're like shutting down the production and everything. It's like,
yes. That's okay. Yeah. Because the rest of them had COVID anyway. So I was like, hey, all negative cases. Come here. What do you call this? What do you call this insect? And then I was like, okay. During certain months of the year, you see these. Sort of beetle-like creatures that fly all over the place and swarm, and they're kind of like a brownish-yellowish. What do you call those?
Brownish-yellowish.
More on the brown side. And they're like kind of like marble size sometimes, and they fly in swarms.
What, like hornets?
No. Killer bees? I think... One of the official titles. No, I don't want to give that away. So we have a name for them. Other people have another name for them.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Chicharas, right? Or what is it? No, chicharas.
Not chicharas. Locusts? Not cicadas. Chicharas?
Cicadas, yeah. No? I'm not heard about that.
No, they're...
locusts.
They don't really make noise. They named them after a month, I think, but I don't know if that's the official name. It probably isn't. It's a month before July.
June bugs. June bugs?
Yeah.
Did I tell you about it?
Yeah, but we call them a different name, right?
I don't think
them, we call them free bugs.
I don't think I heard that before.
No, yeah, we call them frijoles. I didn't even know that people call them June bugs until I was in high school, I think. Or college. So he's like, oh, you just got...
There was that movie, June Bug.
That's true, yeah.
Amy Adams.
But I was talking to the other Latinos in the same group, and I'm like, we call them frijoles, right? They're like, yeah, because they look like beans. They look like flying beans.
No, I don't... I don't think I've heard that before. We are from different parts of Texas.
Not drastically.
Change people's yeah. Dude, it's a 2-hour drive. That's drastic. We're totally different ecosystems.
It'd be like if I lived in Glendale and you lived in Orange County. I mean, it's different. Still pretty far, I guess.
It's totally different.
You'd for sure be conservative, I guess. County.
No, that's actually, you know what? I've never heard that before. I didn't even know. I don't think I've ever even seen her. I mean, I think if you show me a picture of a June bug, I'll be like, okay, maybe I know what it is. But I honestly couldn't. I can't picture that. Roly polies were always prevalent because I lived out in the fucking sticks and stuff like that. Yeah. And being named Rolando. I would get that a lot. I would get that as a child or whatever, roly-poly.
Here, I'm going to send you a picture of a close-up of it, which is not the most attractive-looking bug, but now I'm somebody that has a picture of bugs on his phone.
I've seen, like, ladybugs. Hold on. Oh, God, I've never seen this. This is terrifying.
But that's like a...
Why do you have this on your phone? This is fucking disgusting.
So that's like a super close-up photo because they're not very big at all.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. Yeah, I'm going to have fucking nightmares. But this, I can see where you can say it looks like a bean, though. Yeah, totally. That's a June bug. No shit. That's like a cockroach to me.
Oh, okay. Here's a better one. Well,
it's roach features.
Yeah. But I feel like most insects are kind of roach looking.
Roachy, yeah.
Just hate the roach the most.
You know, I probably have seen these fucking things, but I just assumed it was like a roach.
So that's more of like what.
But they're tiny.
Yeah,
they're like super tiny. Yeah, yeah. I think I've maybe have seen these before.
That's like sometimes they're about the size of like a marble, like a regular size marble. And then they fly in swarms, and sometimes if you drive through certain areas of the U.S., like your car will like massacre loads of them.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy.
Oh, even in Dumb and Dumber, there's a part like where they go, "Hey," when they get the small little that motorized bike. Mm-hmm. He goes, "Hey, are you hungry?" And he's like, "No, I'm good. I swallowed a big June bug on the way over."
Yeah.
So yeah. And this is our podcast about bugs.
Bugs. We're just a bug only show. I don't know if that's cue to move on because I did have a story about a swarm of bees once.
Oh, let's hear it. Let's hear your bees' needs.
So I believe it probably was in the summer. There was a swarm of bees that came into my house and set up between my porch area. That's something that's very common in Texas. Bees, hornets. I think it may have been hornets, but there was a swarm of them. They just all came at once, set up shop, and you can literally put your ear on the wall and you can hear them. That's how many there were. They were literally setting up for fucking their homes and shit there. So what my brother and I did very smartly was... We dressed up all covered. Oh. We all covered. And we got the fucking water hose, sprayed them down. Because this was a good idea.
Just gonna piss them off.
we got the hose, we sprayed them down, and then we dropped. So there's two pillars where the the entrance of my home, you know, like their little roof, but it was like a porch. So like little porch area, but there was two like empty pillars. They had like a brick facade to them. Well, they got into one of those, but it was open at the top, right? So that's where they flew in. And what we did was we got the water hose. We threw that in there to kind of drown them out. And then when they came out, we had like hornet spray, which actually, I don't know if you ever used hornet spray or bee spray. They have a good shooting distance.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I guess they don't want you to do it.
It's the opposite of, right?
Yeah, they're the exact opposite of like a raid, right? But they have like a little feature where you could just shoot it. And so him and I did that. They, anything that would come by, we shot them down and we annihilated this whole swarm of, I'm assuming bees.
Wow. That's a way better story than my hornet spray story. I was trying to help out my dad who was working underneath our house. And there was this wasp that was like fucking with him. And I was like, I got you, Dad. And I ran inside and grabbed a can of hornet spray. And I tried to fucking nail it with the hornet spray and got my dad right in the eyes. I was like, fuck. Like right straight in the eyes. And if I vaguely remember like looking at the horn and be like, yeah. And then I spray it. My dad's eyes just widened up like, oh, shit. I'll say this, though. That wasp never came back. I showed him. I was like, I'm willing to do this to my own blood. Yeah. You're next.
Not to get super off track. But did you watch? That reminds me of the Office episode where there's a bat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's a bat in the and Meredith gets. Throws a bag over it because the bat gets stuck inside it.
Oh my god!
And then he's swatting it and trying to beat it down, and he's like, "You're welcome." Yeah, oh man, that was a good episode. Never forget that. Good show.
Except for that Ed Helms season. I'm sorry, Ed Helms. I like Ed Helms, but I didn't particularly like that season.
Oh, I know. That season was so terrible. We did a rewatch in 2020. Candy and I. She had never seen it. I had seen it, but except for like the last seasons. I caught the like last episodes before it ended, but I didn't watch like the last like two seasons of it or whatever. Pretty much when Steve Carell left, I stopped watching it. I was like, oh, there's no point. There's no way to watch the show anymore.
He comes back for the very last episode and says nothing.
Yeah. Got the closure you always wanted.
And then I almost killed him when I was working on Space Force, but that's a story for another time.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. All right. I think we're belaboring the big movie here. All right. Now we'll go on to our main review of Extraordinary. Two words. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
I sure do, and I totally didn't just write these.
No, you didn't.
Johnny wasn't prepared this time. All right.
Podcast!
Coming in at number three for Extraordinary, Will Forte channels Van Morrison. You get it? Because he's a piece of shit? All right. Coming in at number two, driving instructor finds dead love.
That's accurate.
But I think number one is going to be the one that tells it. And coming in at number one for Extraordinary, virgin learns to finally exercise.
Oh my god, your video cut out. I missed it.
Oh. Say it again. That was a drum roll. Number one, virgin learns to finally exercise. She's an exorcist, sort of.
Oh, I got it. But yeah, that's a thinker. But yeah, you're right. Excellent. Good work. Good, good, good work.
Which I kind of spoiled, I guess, the end right now.
Oh, well. It happens pretty early on, though. So, what did you think of Extraordinary?
I liked it. I thought it was cute. It was funny. It was very... I think it had a little bit of trouble trying to find exactly what type of movie it was, because it felt like it was trying to be like, but maybe this is just the way Irish movies are. Because so far this is very reminiscent in the style of like Grabbers, right? Or mm-hmm. What was it? Helltown Boys, or what was the name of that movie? It was really funny.
Boys from County Hell. Yeah. Yes.
Because it was very like Shaun of the Dead-y, and then it would be like real silly sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I thought it was great. Like, nobody was weak, in my opinion. Claudio Dottori, who's like one of my biggest crushes, is fucking hilarious. You know, Will Forte, I think, rarely does a bad job. And, you know, he's very good at being Will Forte.
I echo that sentiment. I think I liked it more. I found this movie super funny.
Yeah.
Super charming.
I mean,
I
did too. I can't really say anything negative about it, except for, I mean, I think I'm being nitpicky.
Actually,
for the podcast, I guess.
No, actually, I think you're right. Like, I had to, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I laughed. I liked the...
You laughed. You liked.
supernatural elements of the horror,
yeah,
quote unquote, of this movie. But I honestly think the only thing that doesn't really work is Will Forte's character. And it's not his fault, because, I mean, it's... I felt like he was the only character that didn't really fit into this story. I think this... I actually was thinking about it, like, with him not in the movie, this movie has, like, is going on by itself, right? It kind of feels like it's jammed in there, his whole plot, right? Because Will Forte plays... a singer,
yeah, he's
a famous singer who had a one hit, right? Yeah. He is the antagonist, right? But I mean,
the story could have been about the dude and his wife, though,
overcoming their own, you know, fears. That could have been also the movie, in my opinion. I mean, that was a through line through the movie. But Will Forte plays a singer, a one hit singer who's trying to summon some sort of make a ritual sacrifice, yeah, for so he can have another hit album, right?
Because clearly he's so in bad with, like, I'm guessing the mob or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah. He's just a all around bad dude, self-absorbed musician.
But I will say it is kind of funny that they, you know, we get the American as a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Aside from that, I found this like movie, like the humor to be dry and like quirky.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean that really lovingly. And I loved it. I thought it was super funny. It was really funny. I liked all the characters in this.
Would you agree? Because I thought there were so many good moments in this movie. I was like very happy that we chose this one. But the very last line is probably my favorite fucking joke in the movie. I couldn't handle it. I started laughing so hard. So good.
I thought there's some good lines at the end too, like when they're doing the last bit of it.
Yeah.
And what happens, what transpires, I do not have a complaint about this movie. I loved like every second of it. Like it was subtle, it had big laughs, had little laughs, like it had an imaginative story and plot. Like, I like the way they introduce. So our main character's father used to be like a ghost hunter, right? Like, how would you describe him?
I would describe him as a guy named Dan, who is hired to sort of restore old tapes from a woman who was documenting everything that was going on in an apartment that she was living in.
Yeah.
No, he's kind of like a research scientist, but also I would say he's more of like a research scientist than a ghost hunter, but clearly trying to like take advantage of his daughter's abilities and gifts.
Yeah, so our main character has this can speak to the dead, right? She has like supernatural abilities, yeah. Right? That's like her gift. And then he kind of helps her. It's basically Ghostbusters, right? Yeah. That's what we're doing here.
And it's funny because the dad is also in the movie the entire time, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think this movie is really like the acting. I really thought the acting was really good because it was so subtle, yeah, and dry, and like these people were like inhibiting these characters so well. Like if I saw these people in anything else, it would be a little hard to deal with because I felt like they were so defined by their characters.
Yeah.
Which is a testament to their abilities and their, you know, the scripts and the direction.
Yeah, like Maeve Higgins was like fantastic. She was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
But I will say that also kind of her ability to really be this character ruined a plot twist reveal for me at the end. Like I already knew about the sacrifice. Yeah, me too. Like I was like, yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. But I won't reveal anything else, even though I kind of ruined that with the number one 5-word plot summary. Don't rewind and listen to it.
Well,
don't do it. Folks at home, just keep listening. Let it unfold naturally.
So there's like there's a washed up rock star, Will Farty, trust play a washed up rock star. He's trying to look for a virgin.
Christian Winter.
To sacrifice.
Great, great
yeah.
name. Christian Winter.
I was really impressed with the guy who played Barton Martin, Barry Ward. I thought he was excellent.
He was great. He was good. What was he giving me?
He gave me
some sort of vibe, like a character I'd seen before. Couldn't really think of it. But he's kind of like, I don't know how to describe this character, but they write him in things a lot. Like the same type of person, like Jack Quaid in The Boys is kind of this character too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like a straight man, but he has like comic chops. Yeah. Like he has the ability to get as wacky and crazy with all the rest of the cast.
Yeah,
which I think he did really well because he looks like a leading man. You know what I mean? Like he's tall, thin, has like a rugged face. Kind of looks like what's his name? The guy from. Oh, you won't know who that is. The guy from the you won't know what that is either.
from what though?
The guy from Game of Thrones, the Hand of the King.
Yeah, he does. He does look a lot like him. You're right.
Aiden something.
Yeah.
He was also in The Wire. He played Parketti. Yes. Littlefinger, Aiden something. He's a really good actor. He almost looks exactly
Sir
like him.
Ian McKellen. Is that who you're talking about?
Magneto.
Alfie Allen.
Yeah.
Aidan Gillen.
Aidan Gillen. There it is. I kept wanting to say Aidan Quinn, but that wasn't right.
He was also in the only Dark other. Knight.
Yes. He was in The Dark Knight as well. Yes.
Wow.
Yep. He was in Dark Knight Rises, right? Was he at the Dark Knight Rises? Yeah.
Oh, he was also in Sing Street. I did watch that.
Oh, Sing Street's fucking great. I fucking love Sing Street. Great movie. He kind of looks like that, but yet he's completely unhinged and wacky. Like everybody else in this movie, like he's completely up for the comedy. And I thought he was surprised. I was surprised. I was really happy. It was really cool.
It was good. I mean, I can't really say anything. I mean, I pretty much gave what would be my negatives for the movie already. I can't say anything bad about it. It's just, it's like exactly what the movie is. It's really funny. It's mm-hmm. a little wacky. Yeah.
It has that like Edgar White-ish, but maybe a little more wackier. Yeah. It has like Shaun of the Dead. It's like a Shaun of the Dead, but maybe wackier, right? A little more... what would be another good comparison?
Dare I say kind of like Tim and Eric-ish? It's like, you know,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of moments that are like...
Less weird.
Okay.
But...
Like, yeah. Without revealing too much, a character is killed, and then at the end, there's like shocking reveal moments, and this character is like cloth that they were being covered with falls off, and they're pretending that they're shocked too, but they're dead. And it's just moments like that that were really funny.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. No, yeah, there's a lot of really cool moments. And I think
it's real Bob's Burgery, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Yeah. I would say wackier. I don't want to keep saying it, but like there's nothing. There's essentially like to kind of explain every character has like a thing, right? So like Martin character, he's being haunted by his dead wife.
Yeah.
Literally, right? Like she's like abusing him and like throwing away donuts for him and then like picking clothes for him and stuff like that. It's just,
When something happens, that's so funny.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. So it definitely like, and then she, Rose is just like a driving instructor and she's the one that had this trauma. She has the talent, right? The supernatural ability where she can communicate with the dead.
I think so. The reason Will Forte's character doesn't really fit for you is because the more I think about it, the more I'm realizing that all of these other characters play it like really way straighter. Like they're a little more serious about their characters. And Will Forte is just being very Will Forte. Like I see him act and I'm always like, he's very
MacGyver-y. Right. That's a good way to put it. I think from what I read, apparently the rich people going to rich musicians like going to Ireland and buying like a castle or something is very common because that's how they get out of paying taxes, apparently. So that's like the in joke there. That's why he's American. That's why he moved there, because it's very cheap for him to like live there. So he probably this music. So that's kind of like the in joke for that country. But I don't know. I don't have any frame of reference in that. So,
and
his character is, he's very Will Forte in this. That's like the only thing we're like really paying attention to.
I think Enya's famous for like, she disappeared after she was famous in the 90s and she bought a fucking castle in Ireland and she just has been living her life there. Like that's, she's very famous for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of like the Foo Fighters bought this house where people got murdered and they made a record.
Too soon, R.I.P.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P.
Taylor Hawkins.
Very sad.
But yeah, no, this was excellent. I think we should get into spoilers. Yeah. I think we can talk about some of the more funnier moments.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So Claudio Daughtry is like clearly a fucking maniac. And, you know, the reason Will Forte wasn't able to complete his ritual in the first place is because she decided to kill the young virgin that was being possessed. My thing is like, how did she split that girl in half so easily?
She made the loud noise, tried to do something,
but,
right?
Like, when the reveal of like she killed the virgin that was like spinning in the air, because she's clearly being possessed. Mm-hmm. Claudio Daughtry had to have like what was her name in the thing again?
Claudia.
Claudia.
Her name's Claudia.
She like slashed this young girl in half almost. Like you could see her spine. Like I was like, holy shit. She like massacred this woman in like the span of 30 seconds.
So the whole thing is that Christian, Will Forte's character, is for this ritual, he needs to find a virgin. And he, Martin, our male lead, has a daughter who Christian takes, and thinking she's a virgin, but she's not a virgin, we find out. As he does the summonses and the demon comes up from out of whatever the circle spell, she spits her back out and says, like, that girl's not a virgin, you owe me a virgin.
Oh, real quick before I forget, because I'm going to forget this. The one and only time I completely loved the fucking Exorcist homage in front of the house with the light shining down on Maeve. I was like, that's fucking funny.
Yeah. Did you catch the Shining reference?
Which one was it?
So when she's driving to meet Christian to teach him how to drive, you see the overhead shot of a small car driving around the roads,
yes.
And they do that like farty horn, and you might be thinking of Shining. It's really subtle. It lasts for like a second, it's a Shining reference.
And also I read in the trivia that Maeve and Claudia are the only people in that cast that didn't know how to drive. So it's funny that she's a driving instructor.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's funny. So she, so then he ends up finding out that Rose is a virgin. Rose is a virgin, even though she thought she slept with the guy.
Oh, but it was just the demon thing is like, it was just the tip. It doesn't count. I was like, what the fuck?
Doesn't count, yeah.
Oh, man. This movie is so funny. Like,
excellent
the
reveal.
Way she's able to exorcise these ghosts, and like, what's his name is like puking up the ectoplasm.
Yeah, he's like, they're like saving it. It looks like, I don't know, like
obviously cum
glue. Like,
yeah,
cum. Yeah. I didn't want to say that, but yeah, it looks like cum.
Yeah, he's spitting it's like up very cum. Intentional that it looks like a bunch of cum coming out of his mouth. It's so funny. Yeah. Which is probably an ode to Ghostbusters.
Yep.
But, so funny. And then you find out that Rose's dad,
is the magpie.
Yeah, the magpie. But not just that, but like you have it in your head that like, oh my god, she like accidentally like destroyed him or like, you know, did this or that. But no, he just accidentally got hit by a car because like the ritual went off a little bit.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that bad. Like, it was not her fault, really. Yeah, it's funny.
So to kind of like, she's able to, the way she communicates with the dead is that she's able to say some sort of spell, and with a partner, she's able to take that ghost and put them in the body of the person. So in that case, when she was summoning these spirits, she was putting them in her dad, or in this case, Martin, right? So and then they would kind of act out. And then you see like act out whatever it was, like whether it's a dead dog or a...
Oh my God.
What is it?
Yeah, it was a dead... the dad, I think... What was it? Like somebody's dog fell through like a puddle portal.
Yeah. Puddle portal,
and,
yeah.
They said,
yeah,
like, well, there's not much we can do for the dog. Just like make sure it passes peacefully, but you can talk to the dog one more time. So he gets possessed by the dog and starts acting like a dog. And I truly appreciate these actors to commit to these things. He acts like the dog and then he gets hit by a car. And then it's funny when he's the magpie and is able to talk to Rose again for a little bit. He's talking to her and then he like acts like a dog every once in a while.
It's
so funny.
Yeah. And then she was also, and probably one of the funnier scenes is that Rose is able to summon Martin's dead wife.
Cigarette and everything. And he does such a fucking good job.
He does. Yeah.
So funny. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. It was really good. Yeah. All around, really, really
and then,
enjoyed
okay,
it.
Okay, so Claudio Dottori pisses off Will Forte enough for him to, like, slit her throat. And then that's what I was saying. Like,
yes.
There's the reveal where Will Forte is... Oh, no. We find out that she's not a virgin anymore because they have... Rose is getting sucked in by the demon into the portal. And they quickly decide that they're going to have sex while she's getting sucked into the portal. So they're having sex in front of everybody. They're like, what are you guys doing? It's like, we're trying to save her life. And then I think there's this thing where Will Forte gets sucked into the demon finally. And everybody has like a shocked look, like a reveal, like a shock look. And it's just like, close-up shots of everybody's face. And then Claudio Dottori, whose throat had been slit and covered with a white sheet. The white sheet falls down and her face is just the same, but it looks like a shock too. It's so stupid. It was so funny.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah. Everybody had a shock face, including Claudia. Because Will Forte's character like covers her after he slits her throat, he covers her face.
I mean, even the magpie has a shocked reaction. So. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody does. Yeah. It's super funny. Cool. Do you have any last thoughts?
So we go to watch. Totally worth a watch. I'm going to recommend this. It's on my recommend list.
Absolutely. Me too. I was really super happy. This was super funny and it had a great balance of horror and comedy, which I think is sometimes difficult, right? Difficult thing to kind of balance. So it definitely leans heavier on the scarier side, but definitely it has like supernatural horror overtones throughout. Really, really good movie. All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give Extraordinary 8.5 sexy spooky bones.
Very nice, very nice. I'm gonna give Extraordinary 9.5 sexy spooky bones. I was pleasantly surprised. You know what? I'm gonna actively look for more Irish horror movies. I don't think there's been one bad one. They're channeling something else over there, man. I don't know what it is. I did not know they had it in them. I thought they were just all Leprechaun movies or something. But that kind of doesn't make sense either because those are American made movies, right? Yeah. That's just poorly American made movies. But no, that, you know, anytime I will go on and say anytime there's any sort of Irish Ireland made movie, I'll watch it. Automatic watch. Cause what are we like 3 for 3 now?
Yeah.
For Irish horror movies. And I think this is also one of the better ones too. So absolute must watch. All right, guys and gals and non-binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to